to Nelson and your audio guide to the Literary Ramble. We will refer to the site numbers on the Literary Ramble map and landmarks along the way. Download your map from www.nelsoncitycouncil.co.nz. This walk is one of a series of heritage walks developed by the Nelson City Council. This one in particular celebrates the fact that Nelson has the oldest public library in New Zealand. Its origins date back as far as 1841, on the ship Whitby, when the Nelson Literary and Scientific Institute was formed. A number of passengers got together to discuss how they would like to see the new settlement of Nelson develop. The meeting was chaired by Captain Arthur Wakefield, who was in the employ of the New Zealand Company. He was keen on the diffusion of general knowledge by the means of an extensive library. 700 books were on board, owned by various passengers, and it is believed many were donated to form the nucleus of the library that opened in September 1842. Settlers were thirsty for knowledge and valued education, building their first school a month after the settlers arrived in 1842. In 1877, the Education Act made education compulsory in New Zealand. A love of books is still evident in New Zealand today, with the number of bookshops and book sales per capita one of the highest in the world.
Our walk starts at the Information Centre in Miller's Acre. Miller's Acre refers to one of the 8 acres that made up the original town settlement. Cross Trafalgar Street at the traffic lights and travel down Halifax Street to site number 1 on your map. Across the road, the landmark clock tower can be seen atop Civic House, home to the Nelson City Council.
Number 1 on your map is the Elmer Turner Library. It is named after the feisty city councillor, Elmer Turner, who campaigned from 1965 for better library services for Nelson. Elmer was 86 when this library bearing her name was officially opened in 1990. The library is one of 3 run by the council and is open 46 hours per week over 7 days. And offers a full lending and reference service, issuing nearly 1 million items each year. The entry foyer is graced by the Knowledge Mural, painted by local artist Chris Finlayson, who also painted the famous Aotearoa mural on Wakefield Quay. Near the internal entry doors, you will find the foundation stones for previous libraries, and this is near the book return slots. Enter the library. Directly ahead of you is a glass atrium which has become a showcase of local sculptors' works. To your left, see the information desk where a friendly librarian can help you with your queries. Behind them is the entrance to the research room, which contains a comprehensive collection of publications about Nelson and the Nelson region. These include books from the First Nelson Institute Library, and also books written by original Institute members, such as Alfred Dommett. Dommett is probably best remembered for his work in the establishment of the General Assembly Library of New Zealand, which is housed in Wellington. A wide range of materials can be found here, plus some fascinating online resources, such as Papers Past, which provides access to the early local colonial newspapers, such as The Colonist, The Examiner and the Nelson Mail. Free broadband is available during library hours.
As you leave the library, cross Halifax Street using the pedestrian safety island. An alleyway runs alongside the petrol station through to Waikato Square, which is one of 3 large parking precincts in the city. Cross the square using the bricked pedestrian ways to reach the 2 bus depots on the far side. These lead to Bridge Street. You will see the modern Nelson Mail building to your right, which abuts an earlier historic building.
Site 2 on your map is the Nelson Evening Mail offices. The Nelson Evening Mail was the first daily newspaper published in Nelson. The first edition rolled off the press on the 5th of March, 1866. The paper was founded by Robert Lucas, a printer originally from Gravesend, England. Lucas came with his family to Nelson in July 1859. On his arrival, he immediately set up a printing business. Robert Lucas and Sons were printers, bookbinders, and stationers from 1865. A replica of the wooden building that housed the Nelson Evening Mail's offices in Wakatoo Lane in 1866 can now be found at Founders Heritage Park, a charming heritage village well worth visiting in Atterfy Drive. It houses equipment which was used to print early editions of the Mail, as well as machinery from more recent decades, showing the technological changes in the newspaper industry over the years. In 1892, the Lucas family dropped the bookselling and focused on publishing the Nelson Mail newspaper, the Nelson Almanac, and some literary supplements. The Nelson Evening Mail provided healthy competition for two other existing newspapers, the Examiner and the Colonist, who both tried, unsuccessfully, to change from a weekly format to become daily papers. The former ceased publication in 1874 and the latter merged into the Mail in 1921. Robert was joined in business by his sons, and the newspaper company continued to be in Lucas family ownership right up until the sale to Fairfax Publishing in 1993. The first editor was a Mr. F. J. Blundell, who held the position for 20 years until his death in 1891. Expansion of the Nelson Evening Mail necessitated a move to Bridge Street in 1910 to what was considered palatial new premises at the time. The facade of this building is still standing after a restoration and fronts today's busy offices of Nelson's daily newspaper.
Leave Nelson Mail and go along Bridge Street towards Trafalgar Street. Across the road you will start to see a number of Art Deco facades, such as Frederick Cull, established 1925. Turning right into Trafalgar Street, you'll have an excellent view of the old facade of Trafin's department store, with its beautiful domed window and LED lights. To your right, various walkways lead to Montgomery Square, site of Nelson's famous Saturday markets, selling local produce alongside work from local artists.
Continue along Trafalgar Street to reach site number 3 on your map, which is Page and Blackmore. This shop is Nelson's last independent bookstore and was an amalgamation of Alf Robinson's shop Pages, which started in 1910, and Bob Anderson's ABC bookshop, which started in 1964. In the book Turning the Pages by Anna and Max Rogers, a chapter on Nelson details the history of booksellers in Nelson. There were quite a number of them, including an enterprising character called Charles Elliot. He started the first bookshop in 1842, one of the earliest in New Zealand. To survive, he added a variety of goods, from soap to candles, and beverages and medicines. Henry Jackson was another bookseller who sold books from 1860, and his business was sold to Jesse Hounsell, who had a shop in Trafalgar Street. This business was run by various family members, then changed hands a number of times before finally closing in 1989. Looking around you in Trafalgar Street, other successful bookstores can be seen. Whitcall's chain of bookstores has an impressive history dating back to early New Zealand settlement. Around the corner, in Hardy Street, there are some fascinating second-hand bookshops where some pre-loved gems can be found.
Continue along Trafalgar Street and cross Hardy Street where site number 4, the Nelson Provincial Museum on Town Acre 445, is clearly visible on the corner of the street.
The Nelson Provincial Museum was an offshoot of the Nelson Literary and Scientific Institute. It had shared the library premises for a long time until separate premises were built in 1990 for the library. The museum's upper gallery has a short-term exhibitions on display with local, topical or international themes. The lower gallery of the museum is a treasure trove to be explored. It contains the treasures of the top of the south and offers hours of discovery. Entry is by donation and your support is greatly appreciated. Near the exit of the lower gallery, pause at the floor map showing an early map of the original township of Nelson. Interactive technology allows you to focus on an area and bring up stories and images from the past, including some of the sites you will visit on this walk. Images come from the impressive archival photographic collection owned by the museum and are used to good effect. See the dramatic fire of the second library building. Alongside the map, read about the early photographers of Nelson, such as the enterprising Freddie Jones, who used to stand atop his stepladder to capture the action of the day. After exiting the gallery and before leaving the museum foyer, take the opportunity to browse the reference books there. These group historic photographs into areas of geographic and historic interest. These images can be ordered or purchased, or you may wish to visit the archival collection and reference library at the research facility of the museum at Isle Park in Stoke. Visits are free, but you must make an appointment to visit, and then trained staff can assist you with your research.
Continue a short way along Trafalgar Street until you reach number 294, Nelson Women's Club, established in 1926. This is site number 5, and the circular plaque in the pavement marks the site of the first library.
The first library of the Nelson Literary and Scientific Institute consisted of a small room and a small wooden building on this site. The library opened here in Upper Trafalgar Street on the 27th of September 1842. In October of that year, the Examiner newspaper praised the reading room of 30 foot by 16 foot and felt that libraries encouraged refinement and discouraged barbarity. No photos inside or out of the actual library exist, but a photo of the original premises, which was used by the Nelson Institute, can be found on the City Council Library website. In 1892, the building was occupied by a Mrs. Claude Cooper, dressmaker, and you can see from the photograph, with her standing outside of it, that it was a very simple building. However, from these humble beginnings, the library steadily grew, thanks to the energy of a number of dedicated people. One of these people was Thomas Cawthron, whose home is the next site on our map.
Continue along Trafalgar Street until it joins Selwyn Place. To your left, the granite steps that Thomas Cawthron funded lead up to Nelson Cathedral. A number of outside cafes here invite you to stop for a break. Turn right into Selwyn Place until you reach the corner marking the edge of the church grounds known as Trafalgar Square. Across the road is Jens Hansen, an artist who established himself in Nelson in the 1970s and is known for his One Ring of Lord of the Rings fame. Continue to walk up Trafalgar Street East alongside the cathedral grounds. To your right is Nile Street West, which leads to the historic South Street precinct. Continue up Trafalgar Street East and you will see the Nelson Bowling Club on your right.
Today, the bowling club gives little away about its past history. Bowls was a popular sport with Nelsonians with two strong clubs. Nelson Bowling Club was established first, with the Mai Tai Bowling Club formed later in 1903 from the overflow of members. Many columns in the early newspapers were dedicated to the results of bowling tournaments. A 1909 report says, "The two bowling greens were taxed for the Easter tournament with 128 players playing at any one time. Players came from seven other clubs in New Zealand. At the prize giving, which had a plentiful supply of sparkling beverage for toasts, a visiting speaker said that bowls was more than a mere game and striving for victory. It promoted friendship and had good moral effect without losing any of the zest of a keen contest." Stand at their entry gate and look across the green, imagining the gentlemen in their whites debating the merits of the game and the greens. The ladies serve tea at the pavilion, which once stood where a modern house has now been built. Next to this, the old white house, built in 1895, is site number 6, the home of Thomas Cawthron. It is now known as Linton Lodge Motel. Cawthron is known as one of Nelson's greatest benefactors, and he seemed to come to the rescue whenever a few pounds made the difference to an end being achieved. Whether it was finishing the granite steps to the cathedral or money to complete the building of the third library building in Hardy Street, his name pops up regularly. He was the founder of the Cawthron Institute, whose important scientific research continues today. His unique book collection, from 1773 to the 1920s, forms the nucleus of a research collection held by the Nelson Provincial Museum Library. The house, which is at 25 Examiner Street, has a picture of the opening of the bowling club pavilion in the foyer. The link to Cawthron's house is that it had been used as an auxiliary building for the bowling club and intermittently as a boarding house.
Walk uphill from the end of Examiner Street back onto Trafalgar Square, taking care to cross near the small roundabout. You can see the entry to the cathedral from here. Walk up towards the entry, and nearby are some information panels relating to the cathedral's history, which stands on the site of a former Māori pā. The hill is known as both Piki Mai and Church Hill. There are a number of beautiful heritage trees to be found in the cathedral gardens. Take the path that bears right across the grounds to the start of Nile Street. Cross the road and stay on the right-hand side. You'll pass a number of interesting houses whose history is covered in a number of our other walks. Pass the Quaker Meeting House and Nelson School of Music on the corner of Collingwood Street. Cross on the pedestrian island and continue along Nile Street. Across the road is the campus of Nelson Marlborough Institute of Technology, a major education provider for the region. Continue past the Presbyterian Church, built in the early 1900s, to reach Nelson Central School. The building has an attractive Art Deco facade, and you will notice a number of attractive trees in the area. Many were planted by the first headmaster of the school, Frederick Gibbs, who lived at 94 Nile Street, and by Sir David Munro, the builder and owner of Renwick House, which is site number 7 on your map. Continue on the footpath in front of the school and turn right into Alton Street and enter by the school entrance behind the administration block.
Nelson Central School is now the oldest school in New Zealand still functioning on its original unitary site. The site of the present Nelson Central School was purchased in 1893 for £1,600. The school gained its present name in 1927 with the enrolment of both boys and girls. The newly constituted school was made up of the main building in Nile Street, which took standards 3 to 6, and two side schools, Brook Street with standards 1 and 2, and Tasman Street, which housed the infants. The main school building was rebuilt in 1930, and the facade retains all its character today.
To get to Renwick House, head towards a large hoop pine that dominates the vista ahead when viewed from the school entrance. During school hours, check in with the school office, and they will tell you if you may enter the house and see a number of early photographs of the property they have inside.
Renwick House was refurbished in 1966 in character with its original style and reopened as three classrooms with the teaching resource facilities upstairs. It is now used for new entrants. Steps beside the large hoop pine lead through a playground up to the house. Renwick House was originally called Newstead and was the home of Sir David Munro from 1864. Munro was a young leader in the new settlement of Nelson after he arrived in 1842, and he was an early and active member of the Nelson Literary and Scientific Institute. He was known as a horticulturalist and had extensive botanical knowledge gathered during his university studies in Scotland. He qualified as a doctor in Edinburgh, where his grandfather had founded the world-famous Edinburgh Medical School. In his travels in New Zealand, he gathered an extensive range of botanical specimens. He returned to practicing medicine after his sheep farming endeavours in Waimea did not prove lucrative enough to support a wife, five sons, and two daughters. In 1853, he became a Member of Parliament and was knighted in 1866. His son, Charles Munro, is remembered for introducing the game of rugby to Nelson and to New Zealand. Thomas Renwick, another politician and community leader, made Newstead his family home in 1879, renaming it Renwick House. Anne Renwick, the widow and second wife of Thomas Renwick, died in 1937 at the age of 93, while still resident at the house. In 1939, the government purchased the two-acre property comprising Renwick House and the surrounding grounds, the backfield was then a bowling green, to support the growth of Nelson Central School. When facing the house, note a large bougainvillea vine which flowers profusely each summer. The vine is believed to be nearly as old as the house, sitting on the northwest side of the veranda. It is known by locals as the Crinkum Crankum tree, as it provided inspiration to Robin Belton, who illustrated a story of that name, written by the famous author Margaret Mahie. The story was in a school publication in 1985, used to teach children to read. Robin's children attended the school at that time, and over the years, the Crinkum Crankum tree has developed a very special status and the eyes of the many who have attended Nelson Central and learnt to read using this reader.
Leaving the school, return to Alton Street. Cross over Nile Street and proceed down Alton Street until it meets Hardy Street and turn left. Nelson Marlborough Institute of Technology is Site 8 on your map.
Nelson Marlborough Institute of Technology had its beginnings in the large wooden building across the road. This is where the Nelson Polytechnic started in 1904 with 13 tutors. By all accounts, it was a cold and drafty place, but it was a much-needed facility. Original courses were for attaining practical skills, and its core purpose was as a trade school. In 1971, it became a self-standing technical institute, and at the official opening of the Nelson Marlborough Institute of Technology, it was suggested that the Polytechnic's future lay in forestry, transport and fishing industries. Today, however, the Institute's courses are much wider and attract many students to study in Nelson. Nelson Marlborough Institute of Technology nowadays has a strong arts and media department. New Zealand poet Cliff Fell founded an innovative program called the Media and Creative Writing Course, which is well worth a look at. An information panel can be found near the 1904 building, telling more about the history of the original school and the surrounding area. The main entrance of the Nelson Marlborough Institute of Technology campus is nearby as you continue along Hardy Street. See the large sculpture entitled Earth Sky by Australian sculptor Ingo Kleinert, installed in 1996 to mark the Institute's 25th anniversary. The rammed earth base represents the earth and Nelson Mountains, and the stainless steel represents the sky and clouds. The combination of these materials symbolises nature side by side with technology.
Cross Hardy Street and continue along Hardy Street towards Collingwood Street to site number 9, the School of Fisheries.
The NMIT School of Fisheries now occupies the building that once housed the Nelson Public Library and Museum. The library moved to this site in 1861 and was housed in a wooden building, which burnt down spectacularly in 1906. The Totra building had been designed by architect Maxwell Bury, who had also designed the provincial government building that once stood nearby in Albion Square. The only part of the building that escaped the fire can still be seen in Harley Street, and it served as the children's library from 1935 until 1990. Fortunately, many good volumes and artefacts were rescued from the fire, and for 5 years, temporary premises were used in Bridge Street until this imposing building was purpose-built in 1911 to house the library. It opened in 1912, and it was hoped, in the words of the Honourable F.D. Bell, Minister of Internal Affairs, who was later to become New Zealand's first New Zealand-born Prime Minister, who opened the building, that the Institute would not be too much like a church, but comfortable to young and old, where conversation is not prohibited, a place which people could regard as their club, and where they would be comfortable and not bored. The fine building housed the library for 78 years, spanning two world wars and the 1930s depression.
We have now completed our walk. To return to the information centre and your starting point, cross Collingwood Street and continue along Hardy Street until you reach Trafalgar Street. Turn right and the eyesight is 3 blocks away straight ahead.
We hope you have enjoyed the literary ramble. For more heritage trails around Nelson, go to the Nelson City Council website, www.nelsoncitycouncil.co.nz, and use the search phrase Heritage Walks, or simply contact the council direct. Have a great day.